Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week is a psychologist and motivational speaker whose book helps amplify your innate magnetism. Please welcome Dr. Harry Cohen.
It's my absolute pleasure. I've never heard that expressed before. His book helps animate your innate magnetism. Did you come up with that?
Amplify.
That's such a great line.
amplify your innate magnetism. Well, I was trying to sum it up.
With that line?
That was me.
I love that line. Is that you?
Yeah.
Let me get it again. Hold on a second. Damn, I'm stealing that.
You haven't. I write these little one-liners and they just kind of come to me.
You should go into copywriting. That is awesome.
This is it. Maybe I'm wasted in podcasting. I shouldn't be talking at all. I should just be writing.
Great line.
And so you're sat there fully decked out in the branding. You've got the book next to you. You've got the jacket on. You've got the mug. So we're ready to go.
I'm trying to amplify my innate magnetism.
That's it. And so before we talk about the book, I'm keen to know a bit about your perspective on relationships. So you were saying off air that you've been, you know, long-term married now. How long was it?
44 years in August.
And so your perspective is very much informed by working on that relationship and being someone that, mm-hmm. as a psychologist, I'm sure you're both there as a regular person, but then also, mm-hmm. there are times you can't help but apply your professional insight, I'm sure.
And I used to be a marriage and family therapist in private practice, so I would see hundreds and hundreds of clients in that context and have known marriages and read about this stuff. So I like to be a student of both ancient wisdom and new wisdom, i.e. social science research that shows here's what works, here's what doesn't work, here's what helps, here's what nurtures, here's what keeps relationships healthy. So I'm a student as a human, as a practitioner, as a long-term married person, friend, parent. My parents are no longer alive, so I'm no longer a kid. But I'm all of that and want to get better at it and learn how to do relationships more effectively. And I'm proud to say I'm really still learning. I'm still feeling like I just figured some stuff out that, geez, I should have known years ago. So can't wait to talk about stuff.
Yeah, it's funny how that keeps happening, right? We want to consider ourselves to one day be a finished product.
And it's never happened. I mean, not a finished product, but certainly I love that the clay that we're molding, it's nice. I like this. I like this current form of the person that I have become so far.
And I was thinking then, as we talked about your marriage, are there ever downsides to being so insightful about relationships? You know, do you ever point things out and your partner is like,
oh my God, this is one of my newer understandings. And, you know, it's in the book, but just because you think it doesn't mean you need to say it. One of the principles that I really am much, much, much better at is what's going to come out of my mouth going to be helpful or not. It doesn't matter that it's true. Doesn't matter that I see it, doesn't matter that I feel it, doesn't matter that I know what's about to happen, but is what I'm going to say going to be uplifting and helpful? If so, say it. If not, shut up. Huge. Huge. Don't say the thing that you're thinking, even though you know it's true.
Yeah, but then I guess there's also a line there where there are things that we need to say that are helpful, but aren't always easy or fun to say.
That's different. Listen, I need to say this because it's helpful to say. It might not feel great, but I need to say it. I'm saying it for all the right reasons. I feel really good about that. Courageous. Listen, I got to tell you something that, you know, I see you doing that is really hurtful to you or somebody else or unwise or unnecessary or waste, whatever it is, I got to point it out because I know you'll be better for it and I know you'll be able to receive it. So I got to tell you in that way, that's why I've learned to say those things. You're right. But not say the things that, like, here's an easy one. You know, you sound just like your mother. I mean, like that, you don't say it. It's not nice, not helpful. It's not, what the hell does that do?
And in my experience, people realize that for themselves. People are forever saying, I'm turning into my mother, my father, whatever.
Right. And my spouse's mother is delightful. She's wonderful. She's 90 these days. And she is so much more of a wonderful person than she, quote unquote, used to be. However, she has tendencies that are of the not great qualities that my wife and I laugh at and chuckle at, you know. So to that end, I've learned to say helpful things and not say not helpful things. And as a psychologist who's aware of various things in relationships, I am often aware of how I step in it, make a mess, unintentionally create a problem, you know, wish I could unravel it quicker.
Mm-hmm.
I am, you know, I'm aware of what I just did usually after I did it. And it's such a, oh, well, do the next right thing. You know, my wife would say, it's not what you said, it was the way you said it. Mic drop.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I say stuff can be helpful or not, hurtful or not, kind or not. Tone speaks volumes.
Yes. And I think as someone who's been both sides of the mental health profession, you know, being both in it and a recipient of it as a client myself, there is something reassuring to be said of the people amongst us with all the qualifications. That's no perfect sign-off.
Not at all. In fact, in my most effective therapy or coaching, it is when I am the most authentically vulnerable about my imperfections, idiocies, foibles, knowing isn't doings, that allows people to feel, you too? Yeah, we're all in it together. Just because I know the stuff doesn't mean I always do the stuff. So I don't trust anybody who's got their life perfectly together and doesn't express doubt, uncertainty, and not knowing, questioning, curiosity. What's that about? To me, that's just arrogance and ego that I don't find trustworthy. So I want to be constantly in a position of, I'm learning too. I've learned a few more things. Measure twice, cut once. I take this very seriously, that I'm not done learning.
And something that always interests me and, you know, I would even find quite entertaining is how there's this experience when it comes to relationships where so much of your logic, so much of your kind of ability to tell a good situation can go out of the window when it's a romantic relationship, as opposed to working with a colleague, making a new friend. And also so much of your logic goes out of the window when it's your relationship, when you can have all the best advice for everyone else's.
Absolutely. And that's the real key to living our lives, which is applying anybody's wisdom to our own lives. And it's the applying that's the juice. Can I do something good in this present relationship with my romantic partner? Oh, good. Can I do less of the stupid? Oh, good. Can I clean up the mess I just made quickly? Oh, good. I mean, I watch relationships. I see them. I see beautiful, tender expressions of love and affection, public displays, private displays. One of the more beautiful ones, my one son was staying here with his fiance, and he was bringing her a bagel and some cream cheese and coffee downstairs, and he was preparing it. And somewhere along the line, they figured that out, that he was going to bring her coffee and a bagel just the way she liked it. I thought, oh my God, what a beautiful expression of love and tenderness and care and awareness of other. I thought, I didn't learn that for a long time in my marriage. And he learned it early, just sweet, just lovely. When I do see them silly bickering, I say to myself, well, they'll learn that one. They'll learn to knock that off. But, you know, they're still, I think, 4 years in. They got time. But the relationship thing, the journey is a long one. You know what I mean? If you're in one for 10 minutes, it changes in 10 years and 20 and 30 and 40. And so it's a new relationship. at 40, if you know what I mean. It's old, but new. We're not going to have that conversation. That is, we've learned that we don't dig in that soil. Don't go there. You have to learn how to dig in a different way, with a different tool.
We want to make logic out of so many things in life, including relationships. We want to think, well, when we're officially together, when we've had that conversation, everything changes. When we get married, everything fundamentally changes. And like you say, actually, time is perhaps a far more predictable marker of how it evolves.
That's right. Time and what, you can't know. You want to give people perspective. You want to have perspective of a wise old sage, but you need years to be the wise old sage. I'd like to speed it up for myself and for others. I'd like this podcast, I'd like all relationship advice to be, oh my God, I'm so glad I heard that. I'm so glad I started to do that. I mean, it took me 100 years. I've been traveling my whole life. I have 3 million miles on Delta. And just this past year, I go to the airport an hour and a half before my flight instead of 1 hour. What an obvious duh learning. It makes for such a relaxed time in the airport. 2 hours is even better. But I'm just telling you this sort of foolish, you know, rushing mind that I had. I don't want to waste time in the airport. That's just stupid. Now I know. I guess I could have learned it earlier, but at least I learned it now.
Well, maybe that one I haven't learned yet. I like to, if it's an airport I know, like Dublin, Birmingham, occasionally Amsterdam, then I like to be there a cool 50 minutes before.
And so I'm going to pass on this one beauty for you. And I want you to try your next flight. I want you to make it 90 minutes and watch how you move. Watch how you spend your time. You'll get an extra cup of something or other. You'll have a completely different experience.
I'm up for trying it out. I think maybe
just try it.
A piece that might make sense of it here is I really dislike the airport. And so that's why I'm like, I want to be there minimally, you know.
I understand. I had the same attitude, which is, what a waste. I don't want to be here one more minute than I need to. I want efficiency to drive my life. And so I'm just telling you that what I watched and noticed is a completely different, relaxed mindset about my time in this place that I'll be out of very shortly. And I'm passing this on to you in the metaphor of relationship wisdoms, where I'm going to tell this one sort of hit me like a ton of bricks. Whenever there's dishes in the sink now that I didn't put there, I do them. Now, you'd think I've learned that a long time ago. No, no. I used to think that I didn't put the dishes there. My wife will do them. She did them. She'll put them there. And it's such a lovely thing to do, both literally and the metaphor of, I didn't make that mess, but I'm going to clean up that mess. As a partner in a relationship, whoa, what a great thing to do. Seems so obvious to other people, but for me, it took me years to figure that out. Clean up the mess that your partner made.
What for? I didn't make it.
You with me?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just thinking that my flatmate does that a lot for me. Now, if anything, I'm feeling like, maybe someone else in this household has caught up to that one and I haven't.
Okay, so this is a romantic relationship. So flatmates might be different. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, I think the lesson is keep our eyes peeled for ways to improve our relationships, romantic, potentially romantic, and otherwise. Eyes peeled for, you know what? Let me hold the door. Let me hold my tongue. Let me do the kind deed. Let me fill in the blank. Whatever works for you, that, you know what? I could do that. She or he would really appreciate that. They would see the generosity in my spirit. They would see the selflessness of my act. They would see kindness because its motive is pure. I think I want for people to learn that there's so many opportunities, and I'm in the learning mode, to express these heliotropic qualities, generosity and kindness and authenticity and vulnerability. I listened to a couple of your podcasts just to prepare for this, and the demonstration of vulnerability, honest, authentic, sharing of self is lovely. Those are heliotropic qualities that people find attractive. What did you say? An amplifier. Oh, come on. I don't have it. What did you say?
Amplify your innate magnetism.
Amplify your innate magnetism. That's how we can amplify our innate magnetism, by expressing these beautiful, wonderful qualities, innate qualities that other people then are drawn to because they want to be around those good vibes. It's a person who's real. It's a person who's authentic. This is a person who's helpful. This is a person who's selfless. This is a person who's considerate. This is a person who's aware. Wow, I want to be around that. It's a person who's conscientious, dependable. Really, this is a person I want more of that energy. I love this articulation because everything is contagious. You know, vibes are contagious, good and bad vibes. You know what it's like when you're around somebody who's icky and weird and negative and unpleasant and entitled. You can't wait to get away from them. That's the opposite magnetism. We want to be the person that people want to be around. And these are these innate qualities. They've been talked about for thousands of years, you know? So that's the part that is lovely. This isn't my opinion.
Well, I'm imagining that a lot of my listeners might be thinking, well, yes, I want to bring those traits out in myself. How do I find somebody else with those traits?
Okay, so this one's great. And this one is, first of all, be the person you want to be, and you're more likely to find the person that likes that. That's the most important thing. Am I, look in the mirror constantly, am I being my best self as best I can in this moment? Question, answer. That's it. Now, that will attract a person that you go, oh, I like those qualities. The qualities that you like in others are the same qualities you like in yourself, these similar qualities. She or he's funny. Okay, you can be funny. What makes somebody funny? They're self-effacing, not in a self-loathing way. They can laugh at themselves. They don't take themselves too seriously. They have some self-awareness. So you can have self-awareness. You can be self-aware and mindful of how much you want to share of what's going on in your inner world. You know, being self-aware means you're having all kinds of thoughts and feelings. Okay, how much should I share? Are you interested in hearing? I'll give you a little bit more. I mean, ask, can I share some more? You know, is this too much? You know, those are the qualities that you want to demonstrate and look for. So you're in a mission to be the person you want to be and attract the person you want to be with. And these are lovely qualities. You have a bunch, they have a bunch. You're not going to have the infinite number of all the wonderful qualities. No, nobody else is either. But you, if you have a bunch, let's say you have 10 wonderful qualities, of course you have more, and you attract somebody with 10 wonderful qualities, maybe 5 and 5 overlap, right? Look for some nice overlap. 1 or 2, 3 or 4, 5 or 6. Ooh, we have 9 kick-ass qualities that overlap. We'll describe them. Well, she was really playful. Are you playful? Yeah. She was very, very conscientious. Are you? No. She was very, very thoughtful. Are you? Sometimes. You know, you can go back and forth, but your job as a mission is to be this wonderful human being. How are you going to go wrong with being a great human being or an even better human being than you currently are? I'm not talking about a checklist. I'm talking about, I'm pretty nice, but sometimes I talk too much. Well, okay, so be mindful of talking less. I'll stop right now and ask, Bobby, am I doing okay? You know?
Yeah.
Am I talking too much?
No, but it is funny, okay. That level of introspection you come across in people, that you have it. I definitely do one of the things you listed there, where I will ask somebody mid-monologue if it's interesting to them. And it throws people, because people aren't used to hearing it, but I'll be like, telling some story and be like, this is interesting, right? But I'd rather check than finish it.
But listen to what you just demonstrated, what you just expressed, what you just showed them is, I am a person who cares about how I'm being received. And I'm going to stop blathering and talking and monologuing to see, are you interested? That's an amazingly wonderful quality. That alone. Somebody would stop and be shocked. Oh, my God, I can't believe you stopped blabbing to ask what I think, and now you're going to listen to what I say. Now I have to have the courage to tell you, yeah, I'm not really interested. Oh, my God, should I? This is the dialogue that's going on in their mind, like, oh, my God, I was not that interested in what you're saying. I don't want to hurt your feelings. Should I tell you? So you'd say, listen, I can handle it. Just tell me you weren't interested. It'll be okay. There's some moment of connection. Wow. Real, authentic communication. Good, you know, most people like authentic communication.
Yeah.
Generalities, you know.
Oh, for sure. And that would be part of, I guess, the answer I would put forward to how you find people like you're describing is being authentic. People respond to that and they tend to respond in kind. And then whether it's good stuff or bad stuff, you'll get to know them that bit quicker.
Yeah. And I like that people can practice being as authentic as they possibly can and should. You know, the oversharing line, like, you do not need to share everything that's going on with you. Well, it's authentic. I know. Boundaries. But as much as you possibly can, not what you had for breakfast, unless somebody asks. But, you know, I get very excited about what I eat for breakfast, and people aren't interested. You know, I'm using that literally and metaphorically, but I think authenticity is a great practice to cultivate, as are the other qualities that are heliotropic. Gratitude, vulnerability, conscientiousness, compassion, empathy, love, curiosity. They're all wonderful.
Yeah. And what I'm getting from that is there's something around being authentic to the situation. You know, you want to be authentic to yourself, but let's say we take the example of a first date. You might find yourself thinking about your most recent ex. That doesn't mean you need to bring them up.
That's right.
You might think, oh, the person has a similar nose to my mother. I don't think you need to say that out loud.
I mean, I can't imagine what my friends or my son, who's going on hundreds of first dates, hundreds might be the upper limit, but a lot. And he's in the looking for a mate role. You know, he stopped dating to just have fun. And now he's, are you going to be my partner? And I can't imagine what that's like. Because for me, it would be like, I would find out in the first 5 seconds. Like, I'd have a checklist of 5 questions. And if they didn't hit the 5, next.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what it's like for people these days.
Yeah. Although I would imagine part of that is informed by the relationship you're currently in. You know, that teaches what you want because day by day you're like, more of that bit, less of that argument. You know, you kind of fine tune your preferences. And so I'm interested to know about a time before this relationship, before you were so sure.
I've been married, as I said, for 44 years. So thinking back to dates prior to my marriage, one very terrible, horrible date. I went out with this girl once, and I was way interested in her roommate. You chuckle because I let her know that. And how stupid can you be? Okay, that's world-class stupid.
Do I even want to know how you brought that up? How did that end up in conversation?
No, not only do you not want to know, it's so embarrassingly, you're kidding me, that it was the next day, and I'll spare the details. The next day, seriously? I mean, how inappropriate, cruel, foolish, stupid, every level of, well, you know, I was just saying what I thought was true. Now, I was 23 years old, so, okay, I'm going to give some excuse, but seriously? How's that for beyond stupid?
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you.
You wanted a silly, stupid one. There's one. And nobody knows that until they'll listen to this podcast, but
an exclusive. But what I will say for you is there is something there with this scarcity mindset that we can get caught up in. You know, that your son is an example of, there are plenty of people to go on dates with. The one for you is probably not that person's roommate. You know?
Yeah. No kidding. I mean, it was just, I mean, come on, 23. I was just so inexperienced in life and appropriateness. Please. But even to say that out loud, that's a think it, don't say it. don't ever say that stuff.
Yeah, well, that's it, right? The authentic approach to that wouldn't be to say it. It would be to politely let them know that you're not going for another date in whatever
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
Do we want to just be friends? And then you move on, you know?
Okay, can still we being can change the subject now? We bring up the idiocy of my future.
What, you don't want to analyze this for the rest of the episode?
Cruel, inappropriate, insensitive, unwise, and shall we go on?
And so by contrast, tell me about meeting your wife.
Oh, that was pretty magical. Our first real date. We commemorated it. This was in front of an old theater, the State Theater on State Street in our hometown of Ann Arbor. We saw each other. We were in class together. She was interested in the teacher. I, at the time, had a long beard. I was unattractive. And then I shaved my beard. I became more attractive, I guess. Then she was interested in me. We saw each other on the street. And we sat down on the sidewalk in front of this theater. And for 3 hours, we sat on the sidewalk. People walked by and we engaged in every possible permutation of a future life together. Would you ever consider marriage? Blah, 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 blah. And we donated a seat. They renovated the theater and donated a seat with our names on it in the theater in the renovation. Because it was in that date that we both knew. It was very shortly after that. I think 6 weeks after that, I proposed to her. We didn't get married for a year. But I knew in that moment, and I think so did she. In that moment, that date, that 3 hours sitting there, it's like we're in a little bubble.
Mm-hmm.
The world was passing by literally on the sidewalk. And, you know, it was by the curb, so we weren't blocking traffic. But we were 20. It was 25. She was 23. Very young. It was, you know, the beginning of the end. That was it.
Mm-hmm. And I can speak to, I think, other people's experience and definitely my own, that it doesn't always work out when you find yourself in a bubble like that with somebody, you know, hypothesizing about the future. Do you think it was that you already knew each other, that you had that familiarity? Was that part of what made the difference?
Honestly, I think, well, I know for myself, I wanted to be married, and I saw in her someone that I could be married to. She had everything that I wanted in a life and a partner. And falling in love, you know, people talk about that. I don't know if I, in that moment, I was in love. I was like, oh my God, I could be with this. I guess that was love. I could be with this person forever. And I wanted to be.
And so was it maybe,
I don't know,
a readiness that you were both at that stage where it was the time? Because that is something
I
think about a lot in dating, right? And I feel like much better than previous generations at this, of acting on, I guess, authenticity again, of what they're looking for currently. You know, that for a long time, the kind of expectation was, you were either ready for a relationship or you were pretending to be. You were fucking around with it. You know, we get terms like fuckboy come out of that sort of behavior. And I feel like young people now are a bit more literate on these kind of things in whatever way, maybe have less expectations around a relationship can only look one way, and then are more likely to engage in, this is a period of time where I want to be single. This is a period of time where I'm only looking for something casual. Now maybe I'm ready for something more serious. Or maybe you realize, like, no, some variation of those things is what I want. Maybe it's not the same as what I grew up seeing.
And I honestly don't know for others. I think, to your point, every single human being, depending on their age and stage of life and readiness, non-readiness, what they want, what they don't want, and where they are in their quote unquote career or settledness, when all these factors lead to the, I think I want a mate for life, raise children, start a family, or I want to be in a serial monogamous relationship. I want to be in a monogamous relationship, but I'm not sure I want to be with you forever, but certainly for now. I don't know. I don't presume to understand other people. I try and make sense of my own life and give as much wise counsel and perspective for the person who wants wise counsel and perspective. But I would just, you know, for anyone's listening to this podcast, I would say, think and listen to what your heart says. This is right for me. Or as a friend of mine said, you know, how do you feel when you're with this person? How do you feel about yourself when you're with this person? Because that's a sign of good company. The number one thing is, when you eat something, does it agree with you? You know, when you're with this person, do you feel good in your own skin? That's a huge criteria for, ooh, I want to spend more time with this person. Good. That should be the driving, you know, decisioning North Star. How do you feel about yourself when you're with this person?
I could not agree more. And it's so the opposite to this kind of crowdsourced idea we can have of relationships of, how do we look together to other people? Are people expecting me to get married or get married at this point in my life? Oh, we've been together for a while. People keep asking when we're having kids. Maybe we should. Like, there's so much of this stuff will come at us, whatever we do. And so, like you say, going internally, what do I want? What version of a relationship it is for me? And not only is it important, you know, for finding the right relationship for you, it's very protective. I think, you know, when we were talking earlier, I was reminded of someone younger than myself when I was talking about, you know, Generation Z. And I remember we worked together at a festival and she was telling me about being asexual. And that is not a term that I grew up knowing what that is. It's only in my adult life I've learned what asexuality is. And I couldn't help but be fascinated and clunky because I didn't know the right questions to ask. But it was so interesting to me because the only other experiences I'd heard of asexuality always had somebody going ahead with relationships or sexual acts that they didn't enjoy or perhaps regretted. And, you know, for her to have that knowledge of herself preemptively to all of that, you know, I was like giddy with it. I was like, this is fascinating. But I also don't want to make you feel weird by asking a million questions.
Yeah, but that's a good understanding of your own, you know, respect for yourself and others, which is your reaction. Like, oh my God, that is so cool. I want to ask you a million questions, and I'm not sure I'm going to. But you know, how far did you go in your questioning?
Well, we talked about relationships kind of generally another time about, you know, her realizing this and kind of the difference between asexuality and being aromantic. You know, that a lot of people, they might have romantic attraction, they might have sexual attraction, they may have both, they may have just one. So it was a really interesting conversation and, you know, I'd never heard it so articulately expressed by someone younger than me. And so I was like, that gives me some hope that, you know, people are growing up with the kind of language that in this case she went on to need.
Absolutely. It's cool to watch when people find their way in this world, not our way, not the way we went, but they find their way, and more power to them. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. We want for people, you know, we're born, we live, we die. We want for people to travel this life from birth to death in the best that they can for themselves and others. As simple as I can say that. As best you can for yourself and others. Well, what does that look like? I don't know. I mean, I have some notion that it has something to do with being heliotropic. That if you are kind, you're going to have a better life than if you're nasty and mean.
Before we start wrapping up, I have to ask you about one more thing that we would want for other people. And that is compliments. That's something I know you talk about, delivering compliments, how that makes you more magnetic and maybe more honest.
Well, compliments not for ego's sake, but genuine expressions of the qualities that you appreciate in others that are real. So the compliments can be salt on roots, the opposite of magnet, just awful. Like, you're saying that to curry favor. You're saying that because you want something. You're saying that because you think I'll like it. Those I'm not interested in. I'm interested in genuine expressions of elevating and highlighting and amplifying the qualities that you love or admire in another. That's why I'm high on compliments, because they say, I love that you do that. Please do more of that. The world is better for it. I'm better for it. I so appreciate that you have this quality, and I want you to know it and don't take it lightly. That's the compliment that I'm after. Those qualities, they're infinite, but I'm not interested. I love your hair. I mean, you know, what? Well, that's nice to say. I love that dress. I love your hair. I love the way you look. Well, go deeper. I think you really look beautiful today, and I want you to know that, because you uplift me just like a beautiful rose. Okay, so the point of compliments is to highlight the qualities that are universally beloved. Beauty, kindness, grace, vulnerability, authenticity.
Yeah, well, this is where I guess I would add that it doesn't always need to be people's appearance. When we think of compliments in the dating conversation, that is the default. You know, how can I pick out things? And somebody might find themselves always complimenting the same things. And that's maybe a sign they're not being authentic. But instead,
or superficial.
Yeah.
They're talking about a superficial quality. How about something more deep? You know, look for a deeper quality to highlight, because it's true, because you appreciate it, because you see it. And you look at a sunset, you go, oh my God, look at that, beautiful. And somebody's walking by and they go, oh my gosh, look at that. That is beautiful. That is gorgeous. So you're bringing attention to something that is there. But you're stopping and appreciate literally means to bring more value. You know, an asset appreciates in value. When you call it out, you want to bring more value to it by highlighting it, not necessarily the superficial quality of appearance. So anyway.
Agreed. And so as we start to wrap up, we each need to choose a rule of the game. So one final bit of advice that you try and live by in relationships.
I try and be uplifting to others, no matter what the circumstance, whether it's deep and enduring or perfect strangers. I want to be a person that brings out the best in others. I want to be that highlighter of their goodness. And that's with a smile or just with my gaze or with my attention. I want to bring out the best in others.
Absolutely. And maybe something that goes alongside that. So I was telling you about my favorite motivational speaker off air, Lisa Nichols. And one of my favorite quotes of hers is, she says, you have to be the example to the world on how to love you, you know.
Love that.
And that seems to go very hand in hand. You know, how can we bring out positive qualities in others? How can we also demonstrate what positive qualities will go down well when interacting
exactly
with us?
Exactly. And if you know them, you can practice them. Just like if you know what to eat to keep you healthy, you know what habits to engage in to keep you healthy and strong, do them, whatever they are. There's so many to choose from. There's so many foods to eat and so many activities to engage in to keep yourself healthy and vital. Do them. In that way, it's not complicated. The more you know them, the more you can practice them. Look at someone in the eye. Ask them, was this a good interview for you, Bobby? I hope it worked.
Yes, for sure. And so to wrap up then, tell us about the book and where we can find it.
So the book is available at Amazon, or you can buy it on our website, bethesunnotthesalt.com. It's a 31-page, really short reminder book. And so it's not a book that you read. It's a book you can leave around and use. Leave it in the bathroom. Leave it in the bedroom. Leave it in the living room. Just open up a page, any page, and you'll get reminded of what probably you already know, but it'll help you be the better, be the amplifier of the mold that you want to be.
You're going to have to listen back. You'll get it.
Or give it to me one more time.
Amplify your innate magnetism.
This will help to amplify your innate magnetism. I'm going to use it, man. You're going to hear me say this.
Do it. Good. All right. And so on that note, we'll wrap up that. In the bit behind the paywall, we'll have a debrief about the conversation. I want to hear about your dog in the background.
Oh, YOLO?
YOLO, yeah. Of all the names.
You know what that means, of course.
Yes.
You only live once, and she reminds me, as we walk in the woods every day, that life is short. Live like she lives, which is, wow, look at this. Everything is really interesting, really cool. Affection, love, exercise. Life's pretty simple.
Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damaged by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them. And guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.